Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast starts now. Wow.
I just watched the Albert Brooks documentary, and in it, it's framed around a conversation Rob Reiner is having with Albert Brooks at a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And this feels exactly like that, because we are just talking to one another and facing one another, which rarely happens,
while
being filmed.
You know, it's scary. I'm sitting in the seat where the guest normally sits, and I'm sort of like, wow, so this is what they see.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's really intimidating. You're really well lit, and in a way that I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea we looked stunning over there. I was always like, we look like trash. We look stupid. And then they, you know, in post, they edit
in
it
post,
and then
they
make it look good. And now I'm seeing it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm looking at a podcasting star.
Yeah. Well, people don't realize that out of the light, we both look disgusting.
Oh, horrible.
It's sort of a Dorian Gray situation where in the studio, we are ageless, but then we leave the red room and then we look absolutely decrepit.
Yeah. We aged up.
Yeah.
So there's no way around it.
Yes.
It's the end of the year.
This is our sort of New Year's episode, one could say.
One could say that.
We had this spot booked and we were like, what would be a fun New Year's Eve thing to do? And we thought about potentially doing an earnestness bonanza or doing call-ins. And we were like, let's just have a chat about where we've been and where we're going.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean society rather
All
than
of
the
society.
Two of us. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, what are our qualifications for, you know, commenting on society at large? Well, we are gay guys. We live in New York City, which is one of the biggest cities we've got.
That's right. And we are actually even tangentially involved in the entertainment and media industries.
Yeah, by a thread. Gripping on for dear life.
I would say it every morning I have to check to see if I still count.
You know, the thing about being in the entertainment industry is it's a self-appointed role. You know,
it is literally like, how do you identify?
Yeah, it's like, as an entertainer.
As an entertainer.
And it's like, okay, so do you sing? Do you dance? No.
That's rude.
I perform.
Yeah.
And that has
nothing to do with my lived experience.
And by the way, I resent it.
Oh, 100%.
And yet it's my calling. It's what I am.
If I could get brain surgery to make me not be in the entertainment industry, I would.
Wow.
But unfortunately, that is still at the experimental stages. I'm out Sinai Hospital.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to throw it all away yet.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm uninsured because I'm in the entertainment industry.
Oh, God.
I'm actually not uninsured for everyone listening at home. Don't worry.
And I actually also have insurance by a thread.
That is amazing.
It is just incredible. Up until March, so I'm going to go to the doctor as much as I can until...
Ooh, so if you're listening, actually, and you work in the entertainment industry, now would be a great time.
Yeah, it would be an amazing time to get hired again.
To hire Sam before March.
Yeah, because let's just say the health is a little on edge.
Yeah, talk about an in and out list. Out health insurance because it's about to expire.
Yeah, so today we're going to sort of do some predicting.
Yeah.
And trend reporting.
And this is something that I actually would say is a grand gay guy tradition of being so overly confident that you think just by virtue of being a gay guy, you somehow have any right to comment on culture, to comment on trends, to literally look around and think that what you are seeing has any bearing on the broader culture.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say if I was a gay guy and I lived in literally rural Montana, I would still literally look around and be like, you know what's so in? Valleys. Like, it is impossible.
You know, it's out peaks.
Literally. Yeah. It is so impossible to be a gay guy and not think that you, that part of your job, at least part-time, uninsured, is to be a trend forecaster.
You talk about telling yourself stories in order to live.
It is trend forecasting is the original. We tell ourselves stories in order to live.
Yeah. I also think, you know, there's something about being a podcaster too, our other identity.
That's right.
Which is when you know, at first you're like, I got into this, you know, for comedy. I'm a comedian. You know, everything I say is a joke, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly you find yourself, no. Now I'm actually speaking on stuff that I'm unqualified to
exactly.
With authority.
Well, it's like your thing about how everyone ultimately ends up working in marketing.
Yeah.
All gay guys ultimately end up being amateur trend forecasters. And by the way, not very good ones. Like, I actually think, not to be gender essentialist, I think a woman is a better trend forecaster.
Oh, and why?
I think that because women for so long have been pushed aside in our society, they have gotten very good at noticing things because they have to always be operating at 15 different levels. I mean, it's this whole like, oh, you're a businesswoman in a meeting. What is the right tone of voice to speak in? What is the right amount of times to apologize? They're always thinking. Whereas gay guys walk into a meeting and actually open the door and accidentally bonk someone in the head because they are not aware of their surroundings. So it's two very different subjectivities. And so I think, you know, but at the same time, that's not going to stop us from trying.
No. It would be disrespectful to the gay rights movement if
That's
we were
right.
to stop
right.
trying.
Yeah, Jamila Jamil would send us a cease and desist. She would say, as an ally, fuck off.
Yeah, I expect better from you.
Exactly.
You're leaders of the LGBTQ plus mm-hmm. community by virtue of having a podcast. And with that, you need to be forecasting trends now.
Yeah.
For that little boy in Montana.
It is actually, I agree. I mean, it's like, everyone is forecasting trends. Who are we to have a microphone in front of us and not forecast trends?
Yeah. So with that being said,
I think we should dive right in.
We're going to forecast our trends.
And
here's what's in and out for 2024.
This is what's in, out. Yes, exactly. In and out for 2024. We both sort of jotted these down separately, and we're going to go one by one and sort of start gabbing. So should we do out first or in first?
Out. Let's start with an out.
Do you think so?
Sure.
Okay, so out. I have my first one, actually, that I think is relevant to something you have, and so we can do both of them. I have therapy speak is out.
Yeah, and I have, we wrote this separately. I wrote just therapy.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Which I actually think it's important. I want to discuss these two in tandem because I think they are actually very different.
Yeah.
Therapy being out is actually very different than therapy speak being out.
Yeah.
So why do you think therapy is out?
Well, I do think it's, you know, it starts at therapy speak. I think therapy speak is out and people know, like, you know, you can't like self-diagnose all the time. And there's this thing of like, yeah, like you can't just say you have ADHD because you are weird.
Mm-hmm. To which I say, watch me.
But I also think therapy is out because there's been, you know, over the last decade,
yeah.
a push of like that we all need to be in therapy. Therapy is good. We need to get to therapy. And now everyone's been in therapy and sort of like, okay, so where are we now?
Exactly.
And it's like the same place.
And by the way, worse off.
Actually, way worse off because now this is always the push and pull that I'm always obsessed with is like self-awareness doesn't necessarily mean like fixing yourself.
Absolutely not.
Like I'm almost like we've learned enough about ourselves. It's time to stop looking inward and start moving forward. It's time to suppress and yep. move forward.
Yes. I think you are pointing towards a cognitive behavioral future rather than a psychoanalytic one. We need to change our habits
yes.
rather than focusing on our relationship with our fathers.
Yes, yes. It's
Which
like, are you sleeping?
Exactly, exactly.
What's your morning routine? I think these things...
How much caffeine are you drinking on a daily basis?
And how much alcohol?
Well, let's not go that far. And so I do think, I fully agree with you. I think it's very what's next. We've seen this. We've seen therapy.
Yeah, I'm glad we explored. And I'm glad we had our therapy era.
Absolutely. But we actually need to take that and do a sort of a conference where we present main findings.
Yes.
There need to be PowerPoints and there need to be breakout sessions.
Yes, 100%.
And then I actually think we need to get all the therapists in one room and decide which of them are actually making a positive impact and which of them are making a negative impact.
This is another big part of the therapy is out because we are learning that therapists are literally just our friends.
Some of them are even gay guys.
Some of them are just people. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the scarier things. Yeah. Surgeons, I can proudly say I'm not friends with a single surgeon. If I meet a surgeon, it is akin to meeting Jake Gyllenhaal, for example. I would be like, this is shocking, and I'm going to tell my friends that I was at a dinner party with a surgeon.
Uh-huh.
For example, if that were to happen. So, that being said, the opposite is true for a therapist. There are many, many people in my life who have become therapists, and I'm sort of like, okay, well, if you know me casually, I don't know what your qualifications are.
Well, you are also pointing to something that is even more interesting, which is people becoming therapists as a second act after they have already tried being a writer-performer.
Yep.
People becoming therapists as though it's the equivalent of going to, like, and I'm not, this is no disrespect to nurses who are quite literally the number one heroes of our society, but it's very like gay guys used to go to nursing school when they stopped being in musical theater and now they're becoming therapists?
No, it's disrespectful.
That's different. Those are different skills.
Yeah.
Go to nursing school.
Be a flight attendant. There are jobs for you.
So we need to figure out what's going on with therapy, broadly speaking.
And do you want to talk about therapy speak?
And therapy speak, just briefly, to me, I'm like, there has been so much media representation of therapy as well. It's like the Showtime show Couples Therapy, I feel like, had a real moment.
Mm-hmm.
The way that pop culture is covered online is very like, you'll never believe who gaslit someone else by, re-traumatizing them. And it's like, well, I just want to read People Magazine.
Yeah,
and I
this know, used to be Hot or Not.
I
want to
know who wore it best. I don't want to know who gaslit who by re-traumatizing them. So I'm sort of like, I don't like this middle ground of like, there's serious there is serious stuff. People actually talking about their trauma. People actually talking about their psychology. And then there's vapid stuff that's just like, oh, fun pop culture writing. Pick one or the other.
Yeah,
Give me down the middle of like we're standing her for being gaslit. No, we're standing her because she has a ponytail.
And it's not empowering. It's only
exactly
chic.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
And that is so I guess sort of we're talking about like a return to aesthetics.
Yeah.
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 All right. So I think, and by the way, we are pro therapy. Therapy
of course,
is
we're not insane.
We're not insane. Although, maybe if we'd go to therapy, we'd be diagnosed. Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon. But
no, who has the insurance for that?
I mean, not I. All right. Great. Okay. So do you want to do an in now?
I have an in.
Okay. Go.
Okay. My in for 2024.
Yes.
Bongs. And stoner culture.
Whoa.
I think bongs specifically.
Yeah.
Because we have like, now that weed is like legal in so many places and it's sort of like normal and everyone's like eating edibles and it's like there's weed drinks. I think there's going to be almost like a, like I was there first. There's going to be people being like, I'm ripping a bong and it's TBT to when this was illegal.
Yeah.
You're going to fetishize when this was illegal and when it was a counterculture.
100%. And actually, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to shoehorn in one of mine is not one of my big ones.
Side in.
I was saying, so one of my rejected ideas was surfing. Surfing is going to be
in. And this is one I was going to say is related.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, surfing is about to be an Olympic sport for the first time in 2024. And you know how the people covering the Olympics are always looking to make a big cultural splash. So I think there's going to be a revive. I think there's going to be nostalgia for Blue Crush. I think there's going to be nostalgia for, let's say, Big Lebowski-esque culture. And I think that ties into old-time weed culture. And there's going to be a sort of like reappropriation of messy blonde hair, board shorts,
100%.
Surf, doing, what's this called?
I don't know what it's called.
What's this called? Shaka, thank you. Doing the shaka. Thank you to our team of researchers. And even almost like, I'm thinking of like when I used to watch The OC, yeah. Like that level, it's like the dad goes surfing.
Yeah. Well, I also think there's like a gatekeeping element to this type of culture where it's like, you know, we had to do it in high school. Like we had to be around this stuff. And it was sort of like, you know, our 20s were all about being like, I'm so glad I don't have to do that. Now I can wear exclusively American Apparel and be like this type of hipster. And I think now, like, I think it's been long enough that people will look back on that and be totally. Like, I want that again.
And you know what I think it is? It's a move from Abercrombie to Hollister. Because wow. We have been living a sort of prep revival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to be California.
It's about to be Cali.
Yeah.
The Northeast is dead.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Okay, next, let's do an out.
Do you want to share one?
Sure. I'm trying to think which one I want to do. Okay. I'm going to say, and this is a long time coming, and I potentially people have already thought that this has been out, over-intellectualizing reality television. Intellectualizing reality television, sort of like an essay about the Real Housewives that is in the London Review of Books. The sort of like the poptimism of thinking that watching Love is Blind can actually have redeeming attributes or aspects.
Yeah.
That's over.
Completely over. How do you think someone should view A Love is Blind moving forward?
Shamefully. Which is okay.
Of course.
Because guess what? I watched The Great British Bake Off and I enjoy it. Never in my life have I said, this is like Shakespeare.
No.
Because you know what it's like? The Great British Bake Off. It is actually a show where British people bake.
Yeah. It's like a screensaver.
And that is okay.
It's beautiful even. Sometimes you need that. We need to be honest about what we're watching.
Yeah.
We can't, like, you know, rewrite history to make it so that we're actually reading a book when 100%. We're watching The Housewives.
And by the way, if you're watching The Housewives and one of them, let's say, goes to jail and you're like, this is important because it points to our flawed criminal justice system. Well, how about use that as an inspiration and go write an article about our criminal justice system, not about the housewife that went to jail. If that's what you claim is important about it.
Right. I think that is so, so deeply out. I think that is...
It's over.
It's over. It's genius.
All right.
Should I do an in or an out?
Do an out. Whatever.
Okay, whatever. Okay, this is controversial.
Okay.
Pop girlies. I think the idea of being a pop girly is actually out.
Can I tell you one reason why, for my personal life, I agree with you?
Yeah.
I still have not listened to Houdini.
Oh, my God,
and
George.
I have no desire to.
That is so upsetting to me. Why not?
I have not had the desire to open Spotify and click on Houdini.
You're being so toxic.
Do you know what I did recently discover?
What?
That Natalie Merchant released a new album in 2023. Did you know that?
No.
She actually couldn't sing because she had some kind of surgery where her vocal cords didn't work for 3 years, and now she has a big comeback, and she has an incredible song called Sister Tilly that is dedicated to feminists everywhere.
Wow.
And I've been listening to that pretty much on repeat for the last 3 days while not listening to Houdini by Dua Lipa.
Well, first of all, I think you should listen to Houdini by Dua Lipa, and I do think what I mean by pop girlies being out is not that gay guys won't love them, but what I mean is, like, there's, like, with culture at large,
yeah.
I think we are pushing into, like, the fact that there's this, like, Creed Nickelback comeback.
And you are now pointing to one of my ins.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we are we are returning to a space where, like, a pop girly is a shameful thing to be.
100%.
It is for girls and gays pejorative.
It's been reclaimed too much.
Yeah.
Sort of like how Britney has been freed too much. And now there's going to be a backlash against it.
I think there's absolutely going to be a backlash. And I think the pop girlies that exist are going to try to distance themselves from the idea of being a pop girly. And, like, you know, I think Olivia Rodrigo is, like, a canary in the coal mine,
yes,
for that. 100%. And being like, well, I'm pop punk.
Yes.
And it's like, everyone's going to have an extra thing. Like, and I do, there's a metal twist.
But also, it's very much when Madonna learned to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start bringing out electric guitars. You're going to see, I hate to say it, Katy Perry playing the guitar.
You 100% will.
And so, and I want to just very briefly tie it to the Creed Nickelback thing. So my in, and it brings me no pleasure to report this, by the way.
Of course. This is a nightmare for
us. It's a nightmare. So what's happening is, first, pop punk was reclaimed in a way that I have to say, and I know this is controversial, I disagree with wholeheartedly. I, like, you can't suddenly be talking about how Paramore and Avril Lavigne are actually good. And I say this as someone who, like, has had my share of, like, I enjoy that music occasionally. I understand when people like it. But, like, we have to have some boundaries in terms of how we talk about taste.
Yeah.
Pop punk is not good.
Yeah.
It's not. And so, but I think we let that happen. We let people sort of, it's this free for all of ideas. And somehow the idea that pop punk has actually always been good won out. And now it's a slippery slope. And what's going to happen next is that Creed / Nickelback music is going to be reclaimed. And people are going to be like, some, you know, like the Jonas Brothers will, like, pivot to being Nickelback. And then people will be like, God, if only I had this when I was a teen.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're, I know you're famously not on TikTok, mm-hmm. but, like, Creed is really popular now.
Well.
And, like, I was at a bar on Friday.
Yeah.
And, like, a Creed song came on and everyone was singing along.
And a Creed song came on.
And I was like, you know, there's a part of me that's like, okay, this is fun to sort of view this in a different lens, mm. but it also was terrifying.
Yeah. Well, as I've, you know, we predicted this years ago where we thought there was going to be a return to substance. One of the biggest mistakes we've ever made, to be honest. But I was always like, oh, we're going to, this whole, like, everything being ironic thing, it's all going to end and we're going to go back to everyone actually saying what they mean and attempting to have good taste, and elitism is going to be back, but in, like, a productive way. That never happened.
No.
And I'm sorry I ever predicted that.
Well, what I'm learning about the world is that actually all that happens over and over and over again is people find the ugliest, most disgusting, hated thing, decide to like it, and then that is taste. And it just happens over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that's Creed.
And so actually that ties into my next in,
okay,
which I believe will happen, which is I believe it's now been long enough since the beginning of the pandemic that there will be lockdown nostalgia. And by this, I mean there's going to be, in the same way that people had indie sleaze parties, there will be like lockdown themed events. People will see, there will be like Halloween costumes that incorporate like having a little bottle of Purell.
Yeah.
There will be like people, like somehow in some film or TV show or something, there will be a joke about banging pots and pans, and then that will take on a life of its own. We are far enough removed that we can shut down the parts of our brain that are traumatized by it and actually like do.
Yeah, thanks to not going to therapy.
Thanks to not going to therapy. And I think, you know, people tried to do lockdown movies too soon. Like, yes. There was that one Anne Hathaway one. Like,
yeah.
And I think now it has finally been long enough. And actually, well, someone we know is actually making a movie that is about that period.
Oh, really?
Yes, we can bleep it out. Theta's movie is about that period.
And I didn't know that.
It's almost, it's like a satire of people living in early pandemic.
Interesting.
So that's my in. And again, unless I get paid.
I mean, I have to say, I think that's true. I agree with that. I mean, I have a day where I'm like, you know what? I'm staying in. Yeah. Like I am like, I'm doing like a little lockdown day.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, it's like a, felt like a pandemic day.
Yes.
And I like say that with like joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird.
It is. And by the way, I'm now realizing it might even be not a film, but a music video. It might be a music video that does early lockdown nostalgia. Couldn't you see a sort of, honestly, even Olivia Rodrigo, like a some pop star doing like lockdown drag?
I mean, I know we've talked about this, but looking back on the Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga, VMA's performance, yes, of Rain On Me, when they're both wearing masks, is one of the weirder things
it's
to
crazy.
Do. Because you're like, I remember I was there. This, yeah, was not that far ago. And yet this feels like I'm watching a different planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's genius.
Great.
Okay, I have an in.
Okay.
I think being Midwestern is back. Huh.
I see it.
I think as we go into an election year,
yeah,
people will be trying to claim they're from Ohio. You know,
yes,
if they say they grew up in a wealthy family in Manhattan, they'll be like, "But I went to college in Michigan."
Right.
I think everyone's going to be sort of trying to claim middle America, swing state, and even blue collar.
Oh, interesting. My mind went to Midwest as a sort of a safe. It's like, let's say you're trying to be as uncontroversial as possible. You're like, oh, if I say the South, that brings up feelings for people.
Yeah.
That brings up statues. Yeah. It brings up flags.
Yeah.
But if you say the coasts, then you're suddenly an elitist.
Yeah.
The Midwest is sort of this like centrist haven.
Yes. I think that's 100% it. I mean, I think there's two things. I do think that is one of them. And I also think people will want to be relevant to the election conversation.
Yeah. Which states do you think will trend?
I will say, I do think for some reason, I think it will be Ohio.
I was literally about to say Ohio.
I think Indiana is actually too Republican.
100%. And Indiana's like, Mike Pence.
Oh, it's a terrifying place.
No, I think Ohio is going to have a moment. I think Columbus is going to have a moment.
Columbus is back. Cleveland? No, are you kidding,
yeah,
me?
Wow, that is so... I literally was about to say Ohio, and I was like, it would be embarrassing if we said a different state and didn't. And didn't speak at the same time.
No, Ohio is back.
It's gonna
in
be Ohio.
Way.
It's gonna be Ohio.
It's gonna
all
be
right.
Ohio. Okay.
Okay. I guess we should move to. I'll do an out.
Okay.
Ceramics.
Oof.
Yeah. And I like ceramics.
Of course. What are you gonna put your flowers in?
There is something about the ceramics industry where it's been a bit too democratized. And I will call myself in and say that is also probably true of comedy and podcasting. I'm not saying I'm some authority. Like, in the same way that everyone has a podcast, everyone is a ceramicist.
It's actually true.
There is, out of nowhere, once a week, someone on Instagram will be like, I'm selling ceramics.
You know what the weirdest part? First of all, I 100% agree. Everyone's selling ceramics and it's too much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you go into a store, you can go in 5 different stores in Brooklyn and they all have the same ceramics. And
yes,
that really confuses me.
Right.
That makes me feel like we all are just like, we're being lied to.
Well, I do think, this is a big conspiracy theory of mine, I do think all small boutiques in a sort of Brooklyn and Silver Lake, all small boutiques that sell candles and ceramics are quite literally owned by Airbnb or like a big corporation like
that. I think you're so right.
And it is, like, because it's not a supply and demand thing. Like, someone is funding this and it is dark money. So I almost think that is a different issue to everyone suddenly trying to be a small batch ceramicist.
It is a different issue, but it calls ceramics into question,
yes,
generally.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, I wonder if the small batch ceramicists are a response to the small stores.
It's so true. It's the alt comedy of big ceramic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That said, and the other thing with ceramics is that they're always sort of, and I understand why they're overpriced, because it takes a lot of effort to make them, and who am I to be like, no, they should be $2? But at the same time...
I have something mean to say.
What is it? It's not that hard.
I just think a lot of people with ceramics are, you know, they have, you know, they finish their bowl, and then they're like, okay, let's sell this. And it's like, no.
Have a hobby. Yeah.
Like, let's pause. You made a bowl. Be proud of yourself. But this shouldn't be for sale yet. It's like, they're like putting these bowls out that, you know, they're like, but there's a ton of character. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
But you also are just trying to sell a lumpy bowl.
No, I completely agree. I mean, again, it's this rush to monetize.
Well, it's our capitalist society. It's a nightmare.
Society.
But at the same time, just do ceramics for you. Give them out as gifts.
Yes, give them out as gifts. Display them in your home.
Yes.
If you want, take a photo of them and post them.
Oh, sure.
I'm not going to stop you.
No, I can't.
But I'm certainly not going to pay $78.
Yeah, I might not even like the picture.
Uh-oh. All right.
But I'll see it. Okay, let's see. Okay, I have an out. That's a little adjacent to the therapy conversation, but different. Class consciousness.
Wow. Say more.
Well, I think, you know, we've had all of our commentaries and all of our critiques about, like, you know, this movie is about wealthy people and how they're actually not good. And this show is about wealthy people and how they have this, all the same problems, and it's actually worse. And the greed. And I'm sort of like, okay, so now we've said it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we are still living in the society.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's that thing where I think we're being aware of it is like, this isn't helping.
Well, I think you're pointing also to something that a lot of us don't want to acknowledge, which is that satire has no power.
Quite literally.
And I say that as a big fan of the genre. Truly, it is, if anything, oh my God, sorry, my mom's calling me. If anything, I stick up for it in a way where sometimes people will say, oh, that went too far, or like, you know, I just saw that movie Dream Scenario with Nicolas Cage. And I'm like, I know what people are going to say about it. And they're going to say that it's too, like, stupid and that it's too whatever. And I'm like, no, that's the point. It's, like, fun that it's just, like, completely crazy and black and white and, like, kind of problematic and reactionary. Like, whatever. But I don't think it's going to change the world.
I mean, so few things do.
Yeah.
I remember, I mean, it was, like, very pandemic era, very, like, Trump era, when it was sort of, like... like, people were, like, doing scathing internet sketches.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't want to, like, just pointing out that it's bad is, like, unless you're satirizing something that's, like, fresh, like, where I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that pointed out before.
Yeah, well, as everyone knows, and I can't remember who said this, but capitalism has a way of eating up its own critique and commodifying it. And so, to me, satire ended when Parasite won Best Picture.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, honestly, kind of smart.
Yeah. I also think there's like a... it's also been pointed out that like TikTok people, like, it's like they're always shot in like fancy homes.
Well, yes. Sure.
And I think like brands are... like, one, we're too quick to the... like, they got class conscious really quickly. And now I think people are just like... kind of throwing it out the window.
Do you know what's been completely defanged along these lines is like the concept of talking about student loans. Like, it will literally be like Coca-Cola tweeting and be like, cheers to never paying off those loans, I guess. And then it's like someone drinking a Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all become it's just, it's all become fodder.
I mean, even so is like the healthcare conversation, yes. Honestly.
So is the healthcare.
This, yeah, not to toot our own horn, reminds me of when Theta was on and was like, it actually is unfortunate that like the issue is like capitalism because it's not new or exciting to say it because it just is.
Yes.
And so it doesn't, we can't get anyone's attention because it's like, well, yeah, that's a given.
Well, it sort of reminds me when there was a brief period sort of post-Patriot Act when people cared about privacy and then they just stopped. Like literally no one cares about privacy anymore. And if you go around and are like, we're being surveilled, people are like, what is that insane guy talking about?
I mean, I do feel that way about like people being like, they're selling your data. I'm I don't know how to care about
totally.
This. Like, it does sound bad, I guess, when you say that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, if they're selling it, can I get 10%? Like,
you're always business minded.
Well, like, I would sell my own data if you're getting it.
Sure,
it might as well be me getting the money. I'll tell you where I am right now.
Oh, I'll turn on Find My Friends for Biden.
for a fee.
For a fee. Okay. Wait, was that yours?
Yeah, that was my out. Yeah.
And it was class consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Should I go?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll do an in. Oh, this is a big one. Nipple rings.
Uh-huh.
So I believe that an A-list celebrity will either for a role or in real life get a nipple ring.
Yeah.
And it will... Okay, so you know what was botched? Florence Pugh having a septum piercing. She thought that would make an impact and it didn't.
Damn.
But this is going to actually make an impact.
You're
it's going to
so
be like
right.
It's not going to be Ryan Gosling, but it'll be like or and not Timothée, but it will be someone that is an A-lister enough.
You know who it will be?
Who?
Troy.
Do you think he's A-list enough?
I think he's up there.
See, I was thinking it will be a straight man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I don't. This is not a gay. Like, I think it'll be. Like, I almost think there will be like a paparazzi photo where Daniel Day-Lewis has a nipple ring and has had one this entire time. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be something like that.
You know? Okay. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes. Like what? Yes.
Promoting Joker 2.
Yeah. It'll be Joaquin Phoenix. It'll be. I was about to say Jared Leto, but again, he's too old. It'll be someone exactly like that, and then. All the various people at GQ magazine will write about it, and it will be written about in some fashion newsletter, and then there will be some podcast about the cultural history of the nipple ring, and then someone will talk about how, like, actually, people think it came from this place, but oh, and then we'll be too far deep, and then it will become, in fact, the new septum piercing. You know how a septum piercing used to be, like, so out there, and now literally, like, a girl who works in branding will come in and be wearing a sort of oversized blazer and a septum.
Yeah, and she'll be like, we're so excited to work with you guys on the project.
Yeah.
And, you know, Q1 has been amazing for us and we just love what you do. And mm-hmm. so we just want you to bring your unique voice to this and, you know, just have some fun. And she has a full bowl septum piercing.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing stopping nipple rings from fully taking off, I think, is that I think they actually really hurt.
Well.
And I think that will be, like, it's only a speed bump. People do stuff that hurts all the time.
Totally.
But I think, like, for it to really trend, the celebrity has to do it. And then suddenly, like, 4,000 people on TikTok do it. But I do think it being painful will stop people.
But guess what?
What?
That's what the videos will be about. Everyone will be like, no one tells you that getting a nipple ring is actually painful.
Get ready with me while I get my nipple pierced.
Yeah. But I do think it'll be like, this new trend is actually painful.
Oh my God. Because then there's going to be videos about like, mine got infected and like, follow me on my multi-part journey brought to you by Colgate.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. So
there you go.
Well, we should get them. I don't want to.
I don't want to either. I do think actually it would look good on you.
I don't think...
I don't have the body for it. And I'm not saying that as a fish for compliments. It's just there are different body types. And I think you actually would look good with a nipple ring.
I'd have to change a lot of my stylistic choices, I think. You know, I don't think the Farewell sweater, when you pull it off,
well, you would
nipple
certainly
ring.
Chafe.
Okay, let me see what I want to do. I'll do an in.
Okay.
Okay. Terry Richardson style photo shoot, but without acknowledging who Terry Richardson is.
100%. And actually related to that, Woody Allen movies not acknowledging that they're influenced by Woody. Like Woody Allen-esque comedies not acknowledging that they are clearly ripoffs of Woody Allen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There will be actually, and I would say across the board, things clearly influenced by quote-unquote problematic men that just refuse to move. You know what, actually, where I really noticed this?
Where?
In the Albrecht Brooks documentary.
How so?
Because it is a very clear connection that Woody Allen is his contemporary who made similar movies about neurotic men who are, like, bad with women. And it was, this is a film that is mentioning, like, other contemporaries of his, like, what the vibe was like at the time, like, whether or not he was the first person to do such and such. And the parallel is right there. They are, the like, almost the same age. They had a very similar sort of trajectory from being, like, a very alt comic to being an auteurish filmmaker. And the name Woody Allen was not mentioned the entire documentary.
I mean, there is something. We need to figure out a better way, than just not saying who yes. they are.
Yeah, totally.
Because this keeps happening. And it's sort of like, there's something like, we think we're doing the right thing, but there's got to be a better way. Because it almost like allows people to not feel like they did anything wrong. Where it's like, no, that just never happened.
Totally.
And it's like, no.
And then you open yourself up to critiques of like cancel culture and blah, blah. Well, if we're not allowed to talk about it, then we can never heal.
100%.
But sorry, I sort of steamrolled your idea.
No,
So Terry Richardson.
I mean, I think it's the natural progression from indie sleaze.
100%.
And I think people, it's also something that's relatively like easy to do at home.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think that style, it's like slutty, but it has hints at being artistic. Mm-hmm. And it's like it was such an era that it is like a clear thing to reference. But I also think that specific little dance, because he was like canceled or whatever, it almost feels like you're finding it for the first time. And so there's also like, you can almost have the credit if you want.
Yes. Well, it also, you actually can have it both ways, because you also are being sort of provocative just by referencing.
Totally.
But what are you going to do? Be like canceled for referencing it? Okay, let's see. I can do. Oh, okay. I can do an in.
Okay.
I think MMF is going to make a huge comeback. And I think that, so a big one, obviously, there's just a lot of like movies that have two men and one woman and they are sort of sexual. There is the Zendaya tennis movie, yeah. Challengers.
Yeah.
There was, of course, Passages.
Passages.
Yeah, basically, it's and there's one more that I actually can't remember, but I just think this is going to make a big, if anything, this is sort of the end game of the Harry Styles conundrum, is like sort of like straight-ish men, quote unquote, queer baiting, even though we don't care about that term on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what is the end game? It's MMF. It's like literally being like doing something gay and while doing it being like, this is not gay.
And I'm straight.
And I'm straight. And you'll never believe this. I'm straight.
I think an MMF is genius because it also is like of the time where we're sort of like, yes, there are gay people, but yeah. It's also like, but everyone's like a little bit of something.
Yeah.
And I think it's so like having your cake and eating it too, to be like, I'm having an MMF threesome.
Well, it's also like, as we know, culture keeps getting dumber and dumber. And what that means is, things that are sort of left to the imagination have to be made literal. And so when you have someone like Harry Styles, where he's sort of like, well, I'm half straight, half queer, you actually need to visualize that by him being on the red carpet, kissing a man and then kissing a woman. Like it's like, we need to make this clear. He's kind of straight, kind of queer.
I mean, I even see it with gay guys, though. Like, yeah. I think gay guys are like, okay, we've like said we're gay for a decade.
Yeah.
Like,
what's next?
They're literally like, no one's talking about me anymore.
Totally.
It's time to like expand my horizons.
Yeah. And this is separate from, this is not about bisexuality.
Of course not.
That's not what we're talking about.
We are talking about MMF.
Yeah.
And I'm specifically talking about gay guys because I think it's really trendy in gay guy circles right now to be like, well, of course I would sleep with a woman.
Yeah.
Like, we're sort of, there's a reaction to the, like, you know, Y2K era, like, vaginas are gross. So I think now it's like, well, I would sleep with a woman. Well, of course, I'm not opposed to that. It's like, yes, I prefer men, but, and so I think this also literalizes that feeling.
Well, it's gay guys becoming metrosexual in the other direction.
Yeah.
In the 90s and 2000s, we had straight guys that were like, wouldn't it be fun if we were kind of gay? And now we have gay guys that are like, wouldn't it be fun if I were kind of straight?
It actually, you know who stays winning for the MMF conversation? Men. Because straight guys get to be a little gay. Gay guys get to be a little straight.
And then they get to just, like, distract from the fact that they were straight all along.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
I think this is huge.
Yeah,
the MMF thing.
And I
that
also,
actually scares me.
I do think people have not been sort of... So the Zendaya movie, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe it will flop, but to me, I'm like... It's MMF, it's Zendaya, our biggest star, it's Luca Guadagnino, it's tennis, which I have long said is about to really go big.
One of these days.
One of these days. And I just think it's going to really happen.
Wow. I mean, I think you're totally right. I also think it pulls in, like, it's like a soft launch of, like, mainstream poly.
Yes.
It's like... because, you know, there's so many different relationship styles right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like still it's like kind of weird to be like when straight people are open, people like are judgmental of that. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to make all of that an easier conversation.
Yeah. So in that sense, I guess I welcome it.
I welcome it. Right. I actually think it's going to be a slay.
All right.
It sounds hot. Okay, this one is also, I'll do a sexual one,
okay,
a sexual
great.
In. I have hand jobs, both in media and in your own life.
Now that is interesting.
I think hand jobs are back. I think we have like, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of returning.
Mm.
You know, we've all gone so far.
Well, it's high
on
school
our
nostalgia.
High school nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I think we've like, you know, we've done it all. Everyone's,
yeah.
You know, we've done MMF threesomes. We've,
sure.
And now it's sort of like, what if we just had a hand job?
Yeah.
And I think in media specifically, I think it's going to be horny because it's like, there's something about simulated sex on film where it's like, so like under the covers, holding the thing, rolling over. And it's like, there's this, like this dance that's almost like there's like 14 tropes in a row to have a sex scene. And I actually think what's fresh and new is a handjob scene.
You will never believe this.
What?
In the script I'm currently working on. The one sex scene is a hand job.
Wow. There you go. I think it's going to change things.
Do you think, here's a question. Do you think that the hand jobs will be sort of like intentionally depressing mumblecore, like Duplass Brothers coded, like, oh, how depressing that this long-suffering wife is giving her husband a hand job? Or is
no.
it going to be reclaimed as actually erotic?
I think it's going to be reclaimed as actually erotic.
Interesting.
I see it almost as like under the table at dinner or something like that.
I love that.
Where it's like, what if a hand job was really kinky?
And you know what else, actually? A hand job is actually... it's... Okay. In terms of the gender dynamics of a heterosexual hand job, okay? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you can say it is... The man is leading the way. He is the one being serviced.
Sure.
But on the other hand, there is a woman that is taking the most vulnerable part of you, and she's in control of it. If she wanted, she could pick you up from it and throw you across the room.
I mean, she's been lifting.
Yes. So I think that I actually think hand jobs will go from being disempowering to being empowering.
I think they're going to be very empowering. I mean, I do think there is already like a little bit dominating.
Yeah.
Because also, it's not mutual. It's like, I'm completely clothed. Mm-hmm. You
exactly.
are naked and I'm
exactly.
jerking you off.
There's going to be a scene where a man is talking and he's talking like too much. And the woman, to shut him up, grabs his dick.
Yeah.
And she's like, shut up. All right. I'm in.
Done.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this is one that we both actually had, which is that for In, we have red hair that is like a late 90s. It's the red hair that Dua Lipa has in Houdini. Yep. So sort of like almost like red to black. Not a ginger.
No.
Not ginger hair.
Artificial red.
Artificial red. Almost like Matrix. Like it could be something that would be in the Matrix or something that someone doing cosplay would have.
Yeah. I have an out that's really similar to this too,
okay.
Which is, I think out is going blonde.
Yeah.
Because it's like in this political climate,
yeah,
you're saying I'm blonde.
I would even go so far as to say there might be a resurgence in like dumb blonde jokes.
Oh, 100%.
And that will be which is also sort of like a toxic nostalgia, almost like misogynist early 2000s sense of humor.
I think the red hair specifically is like, you know, there's the trope now, the Republican specter of the blue-haired lesbian.
Yes.
And so now people are like, well, I don't want to dye my hair blue because then I'll be playing into the Republican hand. And then there's like, well, I can't go blonde because that's so insensitive.
So the red, yes, the shade of red we're talking about is actually the perfect midway point between quote-unquote natural hair color and quote-unquote like, and sort of like actually blue, green, you know, sort of like cosplay anime hair.
Yeah.
It is exactly in between because you have a, what's the word? It's similar enough to a natural shade, which is red. Plausible deniability. You have plausible deniability because you're like, well, it's red.
Yeah. It's teetering between natural and unnatural.
Much like the bright yellow that like Gaga had during the,
Art Pop? I think that was
or like right before
Fame Monster.
Fame Monster, yeah. Like similar, yes, exactly, because she had it in Telephone.
Yeah.
But like similar to the bright yellow where it's like actually it's even more crazy than having blue hair because it's almost like natural.
Well, there's also an element of like not caring, which is I think really in right now.
Yeah.
And I think like the almost poorly done red dye job is like, says like, yeah, I'm taking swings and I don't really care how it turns out.
Yeah.
I also do have to point out that I think it's insane that you have not listened to or seen the music video for Houdini and yet can even say that red hair, Houdini style, is in.
Well, I think that is what's powerful about the Dua Lipa marketing machine is that the way I have not listened to the song, have not watched the video, but I already know the references she's going for. I even just seeing the cover of the single and the font that she's using, I'm like, I get it. I just want to say another reference for that kind of red hair. Also, I feel like it's like TLC, like there's also that sort of like the Y2K R&B red hair, where I feel like, would it have been T-Boz that would have had the red hair? Anyway, whatever. But you get what I'm saying. Like that sort of era of Y2K, everyone's wearing silver.
Yeah.
Is another reference.
Okay. I have an out.
Okay.
AirPods.
Oh, I mean, to me, to talk about something that to me did not have the range from the get-go.
But now I think people were like, you know what? Whatever. Like, yeah. I know I can speak from personal experience. Yeah. I was like, yeah, like if I have the iPhone, if it just works with it, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it'll be a pretty seamless thing. And then it's like, no, they actually got me. Like, they don't work well. They look stupid. They fall out. They, like, sound bad. And it's like... This is maybe just a personal gripe.
No, please.
But I'm like never considered myself like needing like super nice headphones. Like I am like, you know, a standard headphone will do. And then the AirPods are so annoying to me that I'm like, no, I'm actually ready to become an audiophile and be supremely annoying because this shit sucks. And I'm so mad at a corporation that I once trusted that, you know, now I can't. Now that what they're going to put out the next iPhone, and I'm going to have to wonder if it works. Yeah. Unbelievable.
AirPods are a great example of trust your gut. It's like when people are talking about current events and they're like, you know what you're seeing. Trust your own eyes.
Yeah. Don't believe the propaganda
in the media narrative. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm seeing these like little pieces of plastic that are supposed to A, stay in your ears, B, what, they keep falling on the ground on literal dog shit and you have to just like pick them up and put them back in your ears. They're easy to lose. They are not connected to one another. What do you want me to do with that?
It's insane. They also symbolize like, you know, the business person on a call, yes, like screaming at someone.
100%.
There's a coldness to them that is like, I actually don't want to be a part of that community.
So I want to say, what are normal Apple headphones called? Earbuds?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're a perfect product. And admittedly, I am not an audiophile. I am okay just listening to my earbuds on the subway. But to me, that is a product that has been a part of my life at this point for like 15 years. And it has sort of always done the job. And I'm okay just stopping there and not attempting to fix something that does need to be fixed in some way. I am literally okay carrying around a white pair of $20 Apple earbuds. I'm putting them in my pocket and I'm using them when I need to listen to something.
Well, I do need a cordless option. You know, I have such an active lifestyle that the cord gets in my way. But it's not AirPods.
It's not AirPods. All right. Okay, let's see. So that was an out.
I only have one more in.
I have a few, but they're not sort of
I have one more in and one more out.
Okay. All right. I do have one small one, which I can just do quickly, which is docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary should be feature films. And actually, if you think you have too much information, edit it until it is the length of a feature film.
Yeah, there's a little thing called Final Cut Pro, and I think you're going to want to download it.
Yeah. And by the way, if your documentary is about, I don't know, Beanie Babies, don't make it and make something else. Not everything needs to be like a Netflix docuseries.
Well, and I think you're speaking, it's because, you know, the medium is the message. It's literally because of the streamers.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think as we reject, you know, post-strikes, mm-hmm, are rejecting the whims of the streamers and the powers of the streamers,
yeah,
I think we need to reject docuseries.
Yeah.
There's some incredible movies in there.
Cut
it down from 6 hours to 1.5.
I also, I know this exists, so I don't want to be like, why doesn't this exist? It's because I don't seek it out. But we need to make mainstream documentaries a little more artistic. Like, it is the way that they are all created literally on like an iPhone app for video editing is a bit much for me. Like, you're still a filmmaker.
Sure.
It can't just be poorly lit talking head interviews and then like archival footage. Give me a little something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And along those lines, actually, and I know I keep bringing up the Albert Brooks documentary, I am done with documentaries that are just famous people praising another famous person.
Yeah, that's rough.
That doesn't do anything for me. All right.
Okay. Well, I have a small one also.
Yeah.
This is an in. My final in.
Okay.
Mid-length socks.
Oh, yeah.
I think...
Commit to something.
The high is out.
Yeah.
And I think the low is out.
So what's in?
Mid-length.
Oh, mid-length is in. I thought that was an out.
In.
Oh, okay.
I think...
Oh, wow. All right.
I think it's, again, as we go into election year,
yeah,
I think people are going to be going towards the center.
That's true.
I think centrism is in. And it
goes back to the red hair, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's like, how can I not be too loud?
Yes.
But while still making a choice.
Exactly.
And I think a mid-length sock... I mean, I've never worn one in my life, but I do think... I feel a pressure to get them. And I don't know why. I don't know who's putting it on me.
It also goes back to MMF. Because you literally are not deciding.
Indecision.
Literally indecision, but also reclaiming indecision as not a bug, as a feature, not a bug.
Wow.
Is the big theme of everything we're saying.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
yeah. You know, it's interesting. One of mine, and this is sort of related, one of my outs was black loafers with white socks.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't like, I actually think it's a great look, and I even myself have dabbled in it.
Of course.
But I think it's so, the market is so oversaturated where at this point that is, it's almost like the new sneaker and white socks.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, where do we go from here? It has made its point.
Yeah. Okay. But if the outfit calls for it.
But if the outfit calls for it. I'll do an out. Again, this is a bit obvious, and it's been a long time coming, but IP. Like, IP-based
media. I know what you're saying about it being obvious, but I think it does need to be said.
Well, because literally all the big IP stuff is flopping.
And I think, because I think it would be easy to be like, Marvel.
Yeah.
But I think you're speaking to a higher truth, and that is that all IP is out.
There is something about... I've been recently watching, this is actually very out of character for me, I've been recently watching the Interview with a Vampire show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
I haven't. People
it's
love it.
It's very
though.
Gay. And it is, to be clear, good, well acted, like so big budget. But there's something where I'm like, why am I watching a story that's already been told?
Yeah.
And why is, like, they are taking a story that exists, not only exists, but like every the famous adaptation of it was very successful and very good and featured like the two biggest A-list actors of the time. And so your twist on it is that you're like making it more gay and putting it on Showtime?
Yeah. I think there's like a disrespect of audiences where it's like they will not click play unless they know it already.
Yeah.
And I think people are like actually tired of being disrespected in that way.
Audiences are smart. Well, in some ways they're actually dumb as rocks.
Of course.
But in terms of the IP conversation, they are actually slightly smarter than companies think.
Yeah.
But
and I do think it's starting to be like a bad mark. Like people are now like, well, I don't want to watch it because I don't want to watch something that already existed.
I also think we are at a crossroads where people do actually need to revolt against that. And if they don't, then it actually will be too late. Like, if anything, I will say, optimistically speaking, IP is out this year, but only if people act. Because if people are passive, I was actually looking, when I was sort of like thinking about this, I was looking at what the big movies that are going to be released in 2024 are, and they are truly all sequels and prequels.
Mm-hmm.
People need to actually make their voices heard.
Yeah. I'm voting.
Yeah.
I'm going to the cinema.
Yeah, that's right. I watched that Nicolas Cage movie.
I watched Killers of a Flower Moon.
Exactly. I watched Anatomy of a Fall.
I mean...
Hello.
And I tried to, but it's not in any good theaters anymore.
Yeah, that was me with May-December, but I'm going
to
watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm just not going to go to Kips Bay for it.
Please.
Okay, this is my last out.
You have a final out. Okay.
I have a final out. And this one, I almost took off the list, but I stand by it. Skipping Stones.
Wait, that's an out?
That's an
so
out.
So in your mind, that's been so overrepresented in culture.
On a pond side,
uh-huh,
picking up a rock and skipping it,
yeah,
you need to stop.
Right. Say more.
You have an urge for destruction that is the cause of everything wrong. And in fact, I need you to go read a book.
Yeah.
I need you to ponder quietly. You don't have to be active to be, you know, taking in the beauty of a pond.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say cause for destruction. I think a skipping stone can be a form of artistic expression because you are trying to create something.
Waves.
However, it can also be just a more watery version of like hacky sack.
It's also a watery, you're like throwing rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, you are in fact throwing stones. One of the quintessential violent things you can do.
You shouldn't be throwing stones.
Yeah, and why are you hurting the water?
Why are you hurting the water? And not to mention, have you ever been in like, say, a lake when someone is skipping stones nearby?
While you're swimming. Oh, interesting.
And you're like, hey. And they're like, I'm far enough away from you. And I'm like, well, what if I swim over there?
Right. And also, what if you're really good at skipping stones and it goes all the way?
Yeah, hits me in the head, knocks me out, I'm dead.
Next thing you know, you're dead.
In the lake.
Oh.
I'm a true crime story now.
Okay, it's Minority Report. And let's just say the precogs know what happened.
They know what happened. I'm also just like, there's something about skipping stones where I'm like, it's so like cinematic of like, I'm thinking about my childhood that I'm sort of like, you're like almost not living honestly because you're like doing something that's a trope.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You actually can't be doing it unless you think you're being watched and filmed.
Exactly. It's like looking
for B-roll.
It's like looking out the window on a train, which I think, by the way, they should not let you do.
No. The window should be closed with tape.
Closed. Because
and cardboard.
Everyone that does it is like, I'm in a movie. And it's like, yeah. No, you're not.
It's like, no, you're not.
You're on your way to DC.
Yeah. Well.
Do you have any more?
I do have more. I'm trying to decide if, like, we should end it there. I mean... I do think that is a beautiful way to end.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say very quickly, one of my outs was workwear, but sure. I think we've sort of already covered that.
Yeah.
I can say,
and for the record, I'm not getting a new wardrobe. No, I'm still
there's no way around it. Maybe we can end on my last in is sideburns.
Oh, I love this one.
So this is sort of it is the last form of facial hair that has not been reclaimed for the 2020s.
Yeah. I mean, I think this goes with bong stoner culture. I think this goes with Creed culture. I think.
And also Big Lebowski. I mean.
I think a big stupid sideburn is going to be so back. And it's going to be like, I can't believe this looks.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think it's tied to the sort of Elvis moment we're living in.
Sure.
I think the Elvis estate is really orchestrating a lot more things than we think they are.
Yeah, they're putting all the ceramics in all the Brooklyn stores.
Yeah, like I also, this idea that they don't want Priscilla to be released, I am not buying.
No.
I think they like the drama of it. And I think anything that drums up interest in Elvis, who, I don't say this as a hater, but I can't imagine caring about Elvis. That is so outside of like the things currently relevant in our culture. And yet there are two Elvis movies that have come out in the last 3 years, and both of them are big Oscar contenders.
It actually does make me feel a little bit insane in a way where I'm just like waiting for the Elvis moment to pass because it's never spoken to me. And I know like if I didn't know who I was, in a more profound way, I would be like, maybe I love Elvis now. Exactly. Like, maybe this time I love Elvis. And I'm so proud of myself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Elvis is like dorm poster. It's like,
yes.
It is something that someone with a complete lack of any personality gravitated toward.
When I was in college, I was like, high school, maybe, either one. I was like, I guess I love Johnny Cash because the Johnny Cash movie came out. And I was like, okay, I guess I love Johnny Cash now.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I did love that one song, Hurt.
Oh, of course.
I would much rather he make a comeback than Elvis.
That's true.
Even though, talk about problematic men, but we don't have time.
Who has the time? How do you feel after doing that?
You know, I'd say coming in, I was pretty insecure about mine. I said, these are conventional, these are cliche. But after talking them through with you, I actually feel like we made some incredible points.
And I think
this
so too.
It really is the sort of Parent Trap, two ripped photos coming together and making one photo.
When I had red hair, yeah. That scared me.
Well, not just red hair. We both had therapy. I mean, there was a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
We both essentially had stoner culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if two gay guys think it, it's true.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit, you know, speaking from a place of authority for that long is a bit scary. You know, you're almost waiting for someone to yell at you.
Yes.
And be like, who do you think you are? And luckily no one in this room is allowed to speak except for us. But it does, of course, make me feel a little bit gross, for the record.
Oh, sure. But when do we not feel a little bit gross?
True. True.
Might as well embrace it.
That's a really great point.
Actually, I think embracing feeling a little bit gross is in for 2024. And I actually think, on a more serious note, that ties. I actually think, like, shame is coming back.
Shame is back. Shame and indecision.
Shame almost has been back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the idea of, you know what's out? Anyone doing anything, quote-unquote, unapologetically.
Unapologetic is out.
Unapologetic
out.
Is so out, it's insane.
Yeah. Please be apologizing.
And actually, when, like, next time someone is being unapologetic, that it's like, whoa, we're not doing that anymore.
That's, you know, like, who is unapologetic? Like, Terry Richardson.
Literally. Yeah.
All right. Well, Happy New Year to
all. Happy New Year to all. We hope you're having a cozy and happy week, either with your family or chosen family or your partner or your multiple partners if you're sort of in an MMF relationship, or by yourself, maybe doing a sexy, like, going out for a Manhattan, I'll say.
Oh, that would be nice.
Or even a mulled wine of some sort.
Okay, I'm listening.
I hope you're cooking or eating, making plans, making resolutions.
I hope you're making a lot of resolutions.
Yeah. Because this is going to be a good year.
Yeah. It's a nice clean number.
Yeah. All right. See you at the Olympics.
Okay. We're competing. Bye.
Podcast ends now. Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/StradioLab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.